It is a very good thing to occasionally just completely stop your life. Just stop and take a twofold look at yourself. To stop and to first look back. Ask yourself, where have I come from? Where is it that I've been? But more importantly, what is it that I have accomplished for God? What strides have I made as a Christian up until this very day in my life? And then secondly, then turn and look ahead. And again, ask yourself some important questions. Where is it that I'm headed? What is it that I want to accomplish, yes, in life, but more importantly, what is it that I want to get done in my life for God before my life's over? Where am I going spiritually? What do I want to do spiritually? Because let me tell you something that's absolutely true. In order to end right, you got to start right. And I'll tell you something else is true. You can't get on the wrong road and keep traveling on the wrong road and magically appear at the right destination. Now, because of all of this, anytime is a right time to try to bring your life into focus. To get your life in center, to get your life where it needs to be so that it can start accomplishing what it is that you want it to accomplish. Listen, anytime is the right time to get your life in focus so that you know, yes, I've been here, but this is where I'm going, and my life is focused to get there. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never going to get it focused, and you're never going to get there unless you understand some things. You don't accidentally succeed out there in life or in the Christian life. There's some things you got to understand. Let me ask you tonight, turn to the 90th chapter of Psalms. Psalm 90. This is the only one of the 150 Psalms that was written by Moses, which among other things makes this the oldest of all of the Psalms as it dates back to Moses. And in this Psalm, Psalm 90, I want to share with you five things that Moses says, five principles that we're going to pull out of Psalm 90 that will help us to bring our life into focus so that we can, in fact, live and get all that we can do. Number one, to bring life into focus, Moses says you have to know God is eternal. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, look at those two verses, and I want you to see two things. First, in verse 1, Moses says, God is. Lord, you have been. Brethren, God is. There is a God in heaven. And that God is the first great cause. And the second thing that Moses says about that, about God, at the end of verse 2, Moses says that this God who is God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is eternal. What that means is that God, now think about this, God has no beginning and God will have no end. God is eternal. Now how does that connect with bringing life into focus? Here's how it connects. You're never, ever, 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 ever going to get your life in focus, and you're never, ever, ever going to get your life to be where it ought to be until first you understand that God is and that God is eternal. And until you come to grips with God as eternal, your life is going to be all over the place. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Our dwelling place. The idea here of dwelling place, it is a place of rest and protection. When your life falls apart, this eternal God is your place of rest and protection. When your heart is broke, God is your dwelling place. When serious illness overtakes someone you love, or it overtakes you, you need to understand that it is God who is your place of safety, and God is your place of protection, and that whatever happens in life, there is a God who is eternal, and that God is my dwelling place. And until you know that, life's going to be fuzzy. Life's going to be real fuzzy. So to bring life into focus, I must start with the premise that God is eternal. So that's where I got to be. God is eternal. The second principle that Moses sets forth is in verse 4. Moses says that time is insignificant with God. Look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or it's like a watch in the night. Time is insignificant to God. And I got to keep that in mind. You see, our entire lives are calculated by time. And we calculate time by seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and every day of our lives, and everything every day in our lives is about time and how we calculate it. Let's see. Bible class starts at 10. Got to be there at 10. Morning worship is at 11. Wednesday night Bible class is at 7. Got to be to work tomorrow at 7 or 9, whenever it is you got to be to work. Got a doctor's appointment Tuesday at 1. I got to go get the kids because we're going to soccer practice Wednesday at 3. I told my mother, and that's our lives. That's how we listen, that's how we, our lives are calculated by time, and that's how we calculate time, and that's how we live. Are you listening? God's not like that. The fact, now hear this, the fact that God is eternal, verse 1 and 2, the fact that God is eternal helps us to understand God is not going to calculate time like we do. We understand that. Listen, the fact that God is eternal means that God isn't going to calculate time the way I do. God doesn't wear a Rolex, and he doesn't own a calendar. Isn't that wild? So here's the problem. When stuff goes bad, right here with Fox, you know what I want God to do? I want God to get in on my timetable and get this fixed. But guess what? Even when I get messed up, he still don't have a Rolex. Now, here's how I get life in focus. Here's the connection. The connection in getting life in focus is this, is that I got to remember as I live my life, the most important thing is not for my situation to get fixed when I think it ought to get fixed. The most important thing that ought to happen is that when God fix it, it'd be just when it ought to be fixed. And if I don't know that, life gets out of focus. So I'm walking around saying, well, I don't understand how God could do that. Well, I do. Because you're going by seconds and minutes and days and hours, and God's not doing that. Time is insignificant with God. And on our clocks, on our watches, many times God doesn't come when we want, but all of us are old enough to know God's never been late. He's never been late. We're talking about bringing life into focus. We're talking about getting ourselves where we need to be so that we can do the most for God and that we can be what we ought to be. So the first thing I have to understand is that God is eternal. If I don't know God is eternal, I'm all messed up because I'm going to be everywhere trying to figure out why I'm here. God is eternal. And then I have to understand, time is insignificant with God. Time is insignificant with God. And he's never going to be late. Now, two things. He's not going to fix it when I think he ought to fix it. And number two, he's never going to be late. So if he's never going to be late, then whenever it gets fixed, that'll be the perfect time. And if that's the perfect time, then you and I have to have enough trust in God to say, you know what? That's fine. Amen. Amen. Number three. To bring life into focus. The third principle Moses sets out in verse 8. Is that our lives are transparent before God. Our lives are transparent. Look at verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you. Keep looking. Our secret sins in the light of your presence. What does that mean? That means that our secret sins are in the light of God's face. How uncomfortable is that? Huh? Now, if you go to the airport, they have TSA scan. Speaking of uncomfortable. And you stand there because they want to know what's getting on that plane. And if you go to the doctor and say, you know what, it's something in here, he give you x-ray. And then they will always say what they say after they take x-ray. Well, that really didn't tell us anything. And I'm thinking, you knew that before you did it. So they have an MRI. And then they give you a CAT scan. And in this CAT scan, if they scan your brain, it's explained to me that they're able in that film to slice that thing up and see all in it. Now listen to me. That TSA, that x-ray, that MRI, and that CAT scan is nothing in comparison to the transparency we are before God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. All things are naked and open unto him who has to do with us. Our lives are transparent before God, and he sees all and he knows all. Now think about this. God knows our thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul said, bring every thought into captivity to Christ. Every thought we have ought to be brought in alignment to Jesus Christ. God knows every thought we have. God knows our hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God knows every word that we speak. Matthew 12 verse 36 and 37, Jesus said every idle word that we speak, we will give an account of. Why? Because there is a record of every idle word and every word that we have spoken. God knows our strengths. God knows our weaknesses. Let me tell you how transparent our lives are, how transparent we are before God. The psalmist has said in Psalm 139, verse 15 and verse 16, he said, "Before my frame was made in the innermost parts of the world, God saw me." Do you know what the psalmist is saying? The psalmist is saying that before my skeleton was ever formed in my mother's womb, God saw my skeleton. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's pretty transparent. That's pretty transparent. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both the evil and the good. Our secret sins are cast in a light before the face of God. How sobering is it to think that stuff I can hide from people, I can't hide from God. Now watch this carefully. Watch this carefully. When I think about all this, and I'm trying to process all this, God is eternal. Time is totally insignificant with God. My life is totally and completely transparent. It's transparent in a way before God I can never imagine. I'm trying to process all of this, but when I try to process this, this is a good thing, because I cannot get my life in focus unless I know these things. But if I know that God is eternal, and if I know that time is insignificant with Him, and if I know that my life is transparent before Him, then what have I learned? I've learned what's important. You understand what I'm saying? That's what's important. And I can't get my life in focus unless I know what I need to have and what I need to let go of and where I need to focus and what I don't need to worry about and what is a priority and what's not a priority. Listen, everything in Psalm 90, this is a priority if I want to get my life focused. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your hearts on things above, not on things of the earth. That's where your focus has got to be. What do you want to do more than anything else? I want to go to heaven. Well, what do you want to do right here, right now? More than anything else, I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want to be what God wants me to be, so I have to get focused on that. And that's what Psalm 90 is about. If I'm going to get focused, I have to understand God is eternal. That has to be my first step. If I'm going to bring focus into my life, I have to know time is insignificant with God. So I have to be patient, and I have to be long-suffering. And when I get impatient, and when I'm thinking, God, why don't you do something, then that's when I have to know God will do something when it ought to be done, and He's not going to do it before because I think He ought to. And to get my life in focus, I need to know how transparent I am for God. You can fool Grandpa, you can't fool God. Number four. The fourth principle that Moses sets down is in verse 10. Life is brief. Look at verse 10. The length of our days are 70 years or 80, if we have the strength, yet their lifespan is but trouble and sorrow. Listen to this, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Life is brief, and that will put you in check. Well, I got all kind of time. You know what? You may not. The oldest living recorded person is Methuselah. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Do you know how bad his knees and hips must have hurt? Anyway. God bless Methuselah. You know what? I'm just serious. That would just be awful. He's the oldest recorded living person. Now, Moses here talks about 70 or, 80 years if you got some health. But let's say this. Let's say you lived to be 100. Or let's say you live to be 125. Bless God, let's go for this. Let's say you live to be 150. Do you know how nothing that is compared to eternity? You talk about a thimble in an ocean full of water. You talk about a single grain of sand on a beach, that's not even close. That's not even close. And the truth is, for all of us, shortly, the curtain of life will be pulled. For all of us. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You say, does that help you bring focus in life? It sure helps me to bring focus in life because it causes me to know I don't have forever. I have a limited amount of time. So what I need to do and what I understand God wants me to do, I need to start hitting at that nail. God's business is urgent. Number five, the fifth thing, the fifth principle Moses sets down here is in verse 12. Make the most of your time. Make the most out of your time. Look at verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Listen, do you know what the easiest thing in the world to do is? The easiest thing in the world is to waste time. That's the easiest thing in the world, waste time. You ever just do nothing all day and look up and it's like late afternoon? You're thinking, wow, what am I here? Now, let me tell you what I mean about wasting time. As Christians, we can waste time, and what I mean by that is by going through a day without doing anything that is of any spiritual value. That's what I mean by wasting time. By letting even a single day go by where you haven't done anything that is of spiritual value for yourself. Pray. Read the Bible. And when I say read the Bible, I mean concentrate on it while you're reading it. Pray. And when I say pray, I mean, concentrate there while you're praying. It's easy to just waste time. You know, it's easy. Well, you know, this thing went by and I didn't pray, and then another day and I didn't pray, and this thing went, you know what? We're not making the most of time. Bringing life into focus. If I understand that God is eternal, if I understand that time doesn't mean anything with God, forget that. You know, God will do what God's going to do, and you trust him till he gets it there. My life is transparent before God, sneaking around and doing something. How dumb is that? When the only person in the world who's going to judge you at the end is seeing it anyway. Life is brief. I got a certain number of days. You know what? Just do this. And then make the most of your time. Five things that will help bring your life into focus. This is who I am. This is what I've done. But this is what I'm going to do. And by the help of God, I'll do it before I drop over. This afternoon, if you're in this assembly and if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel tonight. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If you believe Jesus, that's enough. If you're here as a Christian, you're not where you ought to be in your relationship with God, we extend to each of us this opportunity. You can come right now as together we stand and as we